Amen. Verses 17, 18, and 19 of Hebrews chapter 11 is really an inspired commentary on Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 13, where the Apostle Paul, summarizing these events, he speaks of Abraham offering up his son Isaac and receiving him as a figure. The events that Paul refers to here in Hebrews 11, which took place in Genesis 22, commenced with a test from God for Abraham. Look at verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. The word in Genesis 22 verse 1 is tempt. God did tempt Abraham. But it doesn't mean that he tempted him to sin. God tempts no man to sin. We sin when we're taken away in the lust of our own flesh and by the temptation of the wicked one. So the word tempt doesn't mean that in that sense. It simply means God tested. He tried Abraham, and God still tests, and God still tries his children and his people. If you go back to Genesis 22 and the verse 2, you'll see what that test was. What was the test? He says, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. See how the Lord is speaking and presenting this to Abraham. Take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. In summary, God told Abraham, he tested him to take his son, his only son, the one that he loved, and to offer him a burnt sacrifice upon an altar there on Mount Moriah. God put his finger on the thing in Abraham's life that was most precious, that he loved the most. For years, Abraham and his wife had been childless. The Lord then appeared to him in Genesis 18 in the plains of Mamre. And as he dined with Abraham at the tent door, he told him that the following year his wife would have a son and a child. He would be the son and the seed of promise. And Sarah, she laughed in unbelief, and she was rebuked of the Lord. She denied it, but he looked her in the eye and he said, nay, thou didst laugh. And after years of being without a child, Sarah, just as God's word had spoken, for God's word always comes to pass, and it's always true, just as God had said, Sarah conceived a son in her old age, Abraham being old as well. When that little child came into the world, he was the blue-eyed boy of the home. They doted on him. They loved him. He was the center of their attention. And he began to grow and he began to mature, and Ishmael was a threat to him and going to kill him, and they had to drive Ishmael out of the home to preserve the promised son. And that child who had grown to be the man, the son of promise, by whom the covenant people would descend from, the Old Testament Jewish race. The Lord's now telling him, take the son whom you love and take him to Moriah, the place of Calvary, and there slay him as a sacrifice unto me. And I want to say to you this morning, at the outset of this meeting, God still tests his children. He wanted to know, did Abraham love God? Did Abraham trust God? Would Abraham obey God more than everything and anything else in this world and in this life? And the Lord still wants to know, do you love him? Do you trust him? Will you obey him more than anything and everything else in this world and in your life? And I ask you this morning, maybe the Lord's putting his finger upon your heart and he's asking you, what's the most precious thing in your life? What do you love the most in this world? Is it a loved one? Is it your business? Is it some pastime or hobby? What is it? What is your heart's affection upon? Maybe the Lord's saying to you this morning, as he said to Peter on the shores of Galilee, he's pointing out that person, pointing out that thing that you love. He's asking, lovest thou me, the Lord Jesus? Do you love me more than these? And maybe he's saying to you today, I want you to put that thing that you love on the altar for me, and I want you to put me first in your life. Do you love me more than the job? Do you love me more than the family? Do you love me more than the hobby and the pastime? Lovest thou me more than these? That's what he's doing to Abraham. He's put his finger on the thing that he loved and doted on the most in life, and he says, I want you to offer it to me. Put me first. Starts with a test. But this inspired commentary on Genesis 22, recorded for us in Hebrews 11, it was much more than a test. For while it commenced with a test, it centered upon a type. Look at Hebrews 11, and look at the verse 19, the second part. It says, at the end of those events, Abraham set off with his son and his servants and his ass, and he left the servants and the donkey for a while, and he went with Isaac up to Moriah, and the events that took place there when they were finished, this is what it says. From whence also he received him in a figure. From whence also he, that's Abraham, received him, that is Isaac, in a figure. The word figure, it means a pattern, an image or a likeness. We're told in Romans 5 and 14 that Adam was a figure of him who was to come. In other words, he was a pattern, an image, a likeness of the one who was to come. That is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And now in this verse, we're being told that Abraham, when he considered the events that took place on the Mount of Moriah, he received and he realized that Isaac was a figure. He was a pattern. We sometimes call it a foreshadowing. The shadow is not the substance or the real thing. It's an outline. It's a shadow. It's a pattern. The sun shines in this building. I don't know what way it does it here in Cumber. If I was standing in Portadown, I could show you what way the shadow of the church would be in the car park. But if you look at the shadow of the church there in the car park, you can get an outline. You can see something of the pattern of what the church actually is, the building looks like. And that's what Paul is saying that Isaac was to Abraham, and for us, he wasn't the Messiah, but he's a pattern. He's a figure, he's an image of the Messiah who was to come. And when we look at Isaac there on Mount Moriah, we get a type and foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened there at Moriah The Son, the promised Son, was taken to be sacrificed unto God. And we read in Hebrews 10 and 12 of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. And there at Moriah we see the Messiah, that he would be sacrificed for our sins and he would rise victorious. For the remaining time of our service this morning, I want to ask and answer the question, what do we learn about the Messiah there as he was foreshadowed at Mount Moriah in the offering up of Isaac, a sacrifice before and under the Lord? The first point I want to make is this, that sacrifice at Moriah was a voluntary sacrifice. Turn back again to Genesis 22, and if you compare verse 2 and verse 3, you will note the voluntary nature of Abraham in the sacrifice. The Lord is speaking to Abram in verse 2, and he says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him there a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. Now look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took his two young men with him and Isaac his son. The end of verse 3 says they went unto the place which God had told him. Do you notice that Abraham didn't question God? Didn't argue with the Lord. He could have made strong arguments. Lord, this doesn't make sense. Lord, my mind can't fathom this and take it in. Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, how could you be asking me to put my son to death? Thou shalt not kill. There's the first problem. God gave life. God is the only one who can take life. Lord, how can I put my son to death and sacrifice upon an altar? Lord, I don't understand it. Could have questioned the Lord. Lord, you said that from Isaac, in Isaac shall my seed be called. You've promised a people you're going to give the land of Canaan to. The Messiah is going to be born from. Lord, if I sacrifice Isaac, how will it all come to be? Lord, I don't understand. He could have questioned the Lord. But the Bible doesn't record that he questioned the Lord, because I don't believe he did question the Lord. He'd been on the walk and of faith for so many years. He knew when God was talking to him. He could discern the voice of the Lord. And he'd been walking with the Lord for so many years now. He could trust the Lord. And he would obey the Lord no matter what the Lord asked him to do. And so without questioning, without arguing, and without reasoning, without trying to compromise what the Lord had said to make it acceptable to him, he just set off with his two servants, his ass and his son, the wood and the fire. And he went to that place to offer up his son unto God. I put it to you this morning that Abraham is a type of God the Father. For when a sacrifice for the sins of men was needed and required, the Father, God the Father, voluntarily gave of his son, the Lord Jesus, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 4:14, the Father sent the Son. God the Father gave the one in whom his soul delighted. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And yet he sent him voluntarily to this sin-cursed world that would reject him. And he sent him to be the sacrifice for your sin. But it's Isaac's willingness that really stands out, isn't it? Look at verse 7 of Genesis 22. And Isaac's willingness is set forth here. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? You know, Isaac was a discerning worshiper. Old Testament, they gathered at the altar to worship. He's going up to worship and he notices there's something missing. There's something left out. We have the wood, we have the fire, there's a knife. There's no lamb. We can't worship God without a lamb. As the old man, as my dad, made a mistake, and he asked, Father, where's the lamb? Wonder, are you as discerning as Isaac was? If you came up to the house of God and the lamb was never mentioned, the lamb was never preached, the lamb was never mentioned as the sacrifice for sins, would you discern it? Would you know it? And would you realize, I shouldn't be here if the lamb isn't proclaimed? The lamb's the only way your sins can be forgiven and you can be made right with God. And Isaac realized there's something missing. We can't worship without the lamb. And then, it was then that Abram made that great statement, the Lord, God shall provide himself a lamb. What a prophetic statement he made. And then look at verse 9. I'm just moving down these verses for the sake of time. It says, and they came to the place which God had told them, and Abram built an altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. You know, it doesn't tell us, but there had to be some point. There had to be some point where Abraham said, Isaac, I don't understand it. Just yet, I don't understand it. But Isaac, I've said God will provide himself a lamb, but Isaac, you're the lamb. God's told me I have to sacrifice you. And how do I know that? Because I know the word lad is used, but when you do, you work it out. Isaac wasn't the wee boy on the altar. I remember as a wee boy in Sunday school, and the teacher meant her best, but she put up on the wee flannel board, and you have Abram and the altar, and Isaac, he looked a wee boy about 12 or 13 years of age. He wasn't 12 or 13 years of age at Moriah. He was a mature young man. And Abram was an old man. And if Isaac had not permitted his father to bind him, it says in verse 9 that Abram bound Isaac. And if Isaac had not been willing, Abraham could not have bound him. He could have easily overpowered his old-aged father. He could have easily walked away. But when Abraham told Isaac, son, I don't know what's going to happen just yet, but listen, you're the lamb, he held out the hands. And he permitted his father to bind him. He got on that altar. And he was willing. Voluntarily, he offered himself. There was no force. But Isaac submitted to the altar. And there's a lovely thought in verse 6. As they climbed Moriah, Abraham laid the wood on Isaac his son. And Isaac lay on the altar voluntarily, and Abram's about to bring down the knife and the sword. What a picture of the willingness of Christ. He willingly bore the cross up Calvary's mountain. He willingly took the sword of divine judgment for his soul. The knife or the sword is a picture of the judgment of God. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd. And there at Calvary, Jesus bore the cross, the shame and the pain. He took the sword, the wrath and the judgment of God. And he did it voluntarily. And I want to tell you why he did it voluntarily. He did it voluntarily for you because he loves you. He went to the altar of Calvary to suffer for our sins. Because the Son of God, Paul said, loved me and gave himself for me. May we understand afresh the love of God in the voluntary sacrifice of Christ at Calvary. I want to move on very quickly. I want to say secondly, not only was this sacrifice of the Messiah voluntary, it was vicarious. The word just means in place of another. Would you look? We'll run our eye down to verse 13 of Genesis 22. And look at the last statement again. And offered him up a burnt offering in the stead of his son. If you mark your Bible, ring those words. In the stead of his son. For as Abraham's about to bring the knife down upon Isaac on the altar, God speaks to him and God calls him again from heaven. And he says, do the lad no harm. He says, turn round and you'll see a ram caught in the thicket. Take that ram and offer him and look at the words. Instead of thy son. That's what it means to have a vicarious, a substitutionary sacrifice. And at this point, the type, the foreshadowing changes. For up until now, Isaac has pictured and foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, who voluntarily gave himself a sacrifice upon the altar of Calvary for sinners. But at the moment God called to Abraham, the type changes. Abraham had passed the test. He had proven to God he loved the Lord and he trusted the Lord more than anything else. Will you pass the test? And at that moment, the Lord said, take the ram and offer him instead thy son. And at this point, it's the ram that now pictures Jesus Christ. And Isaac, he pictures you. He's a foreshadowing of the sinner. For I want to tell you that sword of divine judgment should fall on you for your sin. You are worthy of the wrath and the judgment of God in this life and in the world to come for your sin. But instead of you, God found another, and what a wonderful type it is. Bear with me a moment or two till I explain it. You remember in the Old Testament when the Israelite brought a lamb or a young bullock or a turtle dove or two young pigeons for sacrifice, it's always qualified. They were to be without spot and without blemish. Couldn't offer a lamb with a broken leg, with a bruised neck. It was to be without spot and blemish, signifying that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would be perfect and without sin. Now, if that ram had been caught in that thicket by its leg or round its neck or anywhere else, Abraham couldn't have offered it. Because it would have been marred and it would have been blemished, it would have been bruised, it would have been bloodied, and it would not have pictured or typified the perfect, sinless Son of God. But where was it caught? It was caught by the horns. In the thicket, the thorny bush. Do you not see the type of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the perfect one without spot and without blemish.
But on the road to Calvary, what did he wear? He wore the crown of thorns. That crown of thorns was plaited and not just set on his head, it was beat into his brow, embedded in his brow. And Abraham took the ram who was caught by the horns in the thicket and the thorn bush. And he took Isaac off the altar and he put that lamb or that ram upon the altar. And instead of the knife coming down on Isaac, it fell on the ram, the lamb. And instead of Isaac, the lamb died. And instead of you, Christ suffered for your sin. Instead of you, Christ died and endured the wrath and judgment of God. Instead of you, he paid the penalty for your sin. There's a lovely hymn. I tried to find it. Mr. Google, I couldn't get it. It's entitled, "Instead of You, He Walked the Road to Calvary." And I can't remember the rest of the words. If you find them or you know them, you slip them to me tonight. Instead of you, he walked the road to Calvary. Christ died for our sins, and he died in your place. That's the message of the gospel. Are you trusting in him to take away your sin? One final thought, and I leave this with you very briefly. The sacrifice foreshadowed there at Moriah, it was not only voluntary, it was not only vicarious, but it was victorious. Go back to Hebrews 11 and verse 19, and this is where we end this morning. Hebrews 11 and the verse 19 tells us that Abraham, he offered up his son Isaac, to whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19, accounting. The word means to reckon. It has the idea of working it out. And at some point, Abraham accounted, he reckoned, he worked it out, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Paul in Galatians tells us that the Lord preached the gospel to Abraham. One of the ways he did it was in that word, "In thy seed shall all nations be blessed, and the seed is Christ." And the Lord taught Abraham the Messiah would come, he would bleed and he would die, and not only would he be the Jewish Savior, he'd be the Savior of the Gentiles, and in him would all nations be blessed in the salvation that he provides. But I believe he taught him all about the resurrection also. And Abraham, taking Isaac up to that place, he reckoned, he accounted it, if I have to slay my son and he's consumed in the altar, well, the Messiah is going to rise from the dead to deliver us from our sins. And if Isaac's a figure, he's a foreshadowing, he's a type, God can raise him up too. The Lord didn't have to raise Isaac up, because he found a ram and he provided a lamb to be slain in his stead. But Abraham, in his mindset, he's accounting. If he's a type, he's a figure, a foreshadowing of the Messiah. The Messiah will rise from the dead. Therefore, Isaac can rise also. Isaac will rise. For he was buried in the cave of Machpelah with his father. And when the Lord Jesus returns, the dead in Christ shall rise first. But the type reminds us that the Lord's sacrifice would be victorious. God raised him from the dead, testifying that he had defeated sin. He paid the debt for sin. He had conquered death. He had defeated Satan. And his sacrifice was acceptable unto the Father. He raised him from the dead. Christ's work is complete. It is finished. It is full. It has been accepted by God on behalf of sinners. And therefore, you can and you should look to him and trust in him to be the Savior of your soul. May the Lord bless.